A Ekhatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekhatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are really getting into a powerful book. It's Robert Kolker's Hidden Valley Road, Inside the Mind of an American Family. And this is more than just a family story, isn't it? It feels like it touches on so much more.
Oh, absolutely. It dives deep into the Galvin family from Colorado Springs. A really compelling family, Don and Mimi Galvin, 12 kids. But the core, the almost unbelievable part, is that 6 of their 10 sons develop schizophrenia.
6 out of 10. Yeah. Just saying, it sounds unreal. The sheer concentration.
Exactly.
So our mission today, I guess, is to explore how this incredibly intense private family tragedy sort of intersected with, well, major scientific breakthroughs.
Yeah, the Galvin case really forces you to look at that connection. You have this devastating human cost of mental illness on one side, but on the other, their unique genetic situation provided this, well, invaluable data for scientists. Their story really helped shift our whole understanding of schizophrenia.
Moving it away from just psychological theories.
Precisely. Moving it definitively toward a biological understanding. It's a huge part of this nature versus nurture debate.
Okay, so that intersection is key. Let's maybe start with the author, Robert Kolker. Who is he?
So Kolker is fundamentally an investigative journalist, a really thorough one. You might know his earlier book, Lost Girls.
Ah, yes. Acclaimed work.
Right. And what makes his approach here so effective, I think, is that he's not a psychiatrist or a geneticist himself.
Okay, so he comes at it from a different angle.
Exactly. He acts like a bridge. He takes all this complex stuff, psychiatric research, gene studies, medical ethics, which can be really dense, and he weaves it into this incredibly human story, always keeping the Galvin family, the people, right at the center.
How did he manage that? It sounds like a difficult balance.
Well, he combines deep empathy with that journalistic objectivity. It's clear he spent a huge amount of time with the surviving family members and also with the researchers. So he had to navigate both the, you know, the painful memories and the very technical scientific side.
Right. Getting both perspectives. So let's get into the book itself. You mentioned two parallel tracks.
Yeah. Think of it as a dual journey. The first is the personal one, the Galvin's life. They start off looking like the absolute picture of the post-war American dream, right? Big family, Colorado Springs seemed perfect on the surface.
It's a classic image.
Totally. But then as the boys grew older, this dream kind of descends into chaos. Fear, violence, it just unravels as schizophrenia takes hold of one son after another.
It's chilling to think about. And the second track, the science.
That's the parallel story. How this family, purely because so many members were affected, became what researchers called a genetic gold mine. The book traces how scientists, especially at places like the National Institute of Mental Health, saw the Galvins as potentially holding the key to understanding schizophrenia's genetic roots.
So following the science from, say, the 70s onwards.
Exactly. From those older psychoanalytic ideas right up to modern genetics.
And the book doesn't shy away from the cost, especially for the siblings who didn't get sick.
No, not at all. It really highlights the burden on the well siblings, particularly the two daughters, Margaret and Lindsay. And it tackles the really complex ethics, you know, using this profound suffering to push medicine forward. Ultimately, it's a powerful strike against stigma.
It shows how the illness impacts everyone. Not just the diagnosed individuals.
The whole family system, absolutely.
Okay, let's dig into that family story first. That idyllic beginning in the 60s, Don and Mimi, all these kids.
Yeah, they really projected that perfect image. But Kolker is careful. He shows the cracks appearing early on, starting with Donald, the eldest son. His initial symptoms, the withdrawal, the kind of strange behavior they were sadly missed or maybe misinterpreted.
How so?
Well, the parents, understandably, perhaps, first saw it as, you know, typical teenage acting out, yeah. Or maybe stress, disciplinary issues, not illness.
That denial, or just not knowing, must have made what came next even harder. When 5 more sons started showing symptoms.
What
was that like inside the house?
Kolker paints a picture of absolute chaos. The house on Hidden Valley Road became, well, terrifying. Constant tension, sometimes violence, complete unpredictability. The parents felt so isolated, you know, unable to really talk about what was happening behind closed doors.
And at that time, the medical world wasn't offering much help, was it? More like blame.
Ah, the context then was just brutal. You have to remember this pervasive, cruel theory, the schizophrenogenic mother.
The idea that mothers caused it.
Yes. Psychiatry back then, really influenced by psychoanalysis, pushed this idea that cold or domineering mothers were the cause. So Mimi Galvin, on top of dealing with this impossible situation at home, was basically told it was her fault. She internalized so much guilt, it's heartbreaking.
Just layers of trauma.
Yeah.
It's hard to fathom. And this is where the Galvin case becomes so scientifically important, right? It helped debunk that awful theory.
Absolutely critical. Let's pivot to the science side. How did this family's unique situation spark such a shift?
What made them a genetic goldmine?
Well, the insight came from researchers like Dr. Lynn DeLisi and later Dr. Robert Friedman. They realized something simple but profound. Having six brothers with schizophrenia and six unaffected siblings, 10 boys, 2 girls, all with the same parents, raised in roughly the same environment.
That's a perfect comparison group naturally occurring.
Exactly. An incredibly rare, invaluable resource for genetic study. You couldn't design it better.
So the family's worst nightmare became science's perfect opportunity in a way. This is what really shifted the focus.
Yes, this helped decisively move research away from blaming childhood experiences like parenting styles and towards looking for actual biological markers, differences in brain structure, specific genes.
It provided concrete evidence.
Definitive proof, really. It showed schizophrenia runs in families because it's biological, it's brain-based. It finally, thankfully, started to lift the blame from parents.
But Kolker keeps reminding us of the human cost, right?
Yeah.
Especially the sisters, Margaret and Lindsay. They lived through it all but weren't diagnosed. How did they cope?
Their stories are central. They essentially become the witnesses, the narrators of the trauma. Growing up in that environment, constantly navigating crises, it left deep, lasting scars. PTSD, anxiety, a sense that their own childhoods were lost to the illness.
And they handled it differently.
Yeah, Kolker shows their different paths. Margaret stayed closer, trying to manage the family story and legacy. Lindsay sought distance, building a completely separate life, trying to escape that shatter.
And then comes the point where the family actively decides to participate in the research.
Yes, that's the convergence. They agree to provide blood samples, medical histories, interviews, turning their private tragedy into this huge public contribution. It gave researchers that crucial map to study hereditary risk and brain differences.
Transforming pain into potential progress.
In a very real way, yes. Their decision offered hope for so many other families who would face this diagnosis down the line.
Okay, stepping back from the narrative flow.
Yeah.
What are the big, maybe 3 key takeaways from this book that stick with you, things we can apply?
I think the first, and maybe the most important scientifically, is how the Galvin story vindicates the nature side of the equation. It hammers home that schizophrenia is fundamentally a biological brain disease rooted in genetics. It just shatters that old harmful myth of parental blame.
Yeah, that feels huge. But it's also nuanced, isn't it? The book doesn't say environment doesn't matter at all.
No, exactly, and that's crucial. While the root is genetic, the chaotic, stressful environment certainly seemed to influence how and maybe when the illness manifested in the brothers. So it pushes us towards a more complex understanding. Biology is primary, but the environment interacts with it, avoids simple answers.
Right. Okay, what's the second thing?
For me, it's shining a light on the invisible trauma of the siblings who aren't diagnosed, the so-called well siblings. Margaret and Lindsay's lifelong struggles really show that severe mental illness is a crisis for the entire family. We have to see it systemically.
It makes you think about the burden on caregivers, on siblings. They often develop their own mental health struggles from the stress and trauma.
Absolutely. It argues for supporting the whole unit, not just the person with the diagnosis.
Okay. And a third major theme.
I'd say it's the destructive power of secrecy and stigma. The Galvins felt this immense pressure to maintain a perfect public image. That need for secrecy led to terrible isolation. It compounded the chaos inside the house and probably stopped them from getting help sooner or more effectively. Stigma is just toxic.
Yeah, the book really drives that home. Kolker has a way of phrasing these big ideas really powerfully too, doesn't he?
He does. Some lines just stick with you.
Like the one capturing the ripple effect.
Yeah, the idea that mental illness is a family disease that happens to an individual. That really captures it. It's not just about the 6 sons. It consumed everyone.
That makes so much sense. And the one about the science.
Their tragedy became science's opportunity. It just lays bare that ethical tension, doesn't it? The immense suffering on one hand and the potential for knowledge and progress on the other.
It's uncomfortable, but true. And what about the sisters' journey?
That line, escaping the house was one thing, escaping the story that had shaped them was another. It speaks volumes about trauma, especially childhood trauma. Healing isn't just about getting away physically. It's about finding a way to live with or maybe rewrite the narrative that defined you. It's a long road.
Wow. Those quotes really make you stop and think. So for listeners, for you engaging with this, how can we translate this into real life? What are the applications?
Well, the most direct one is maybe fostering radical empathy. This book takes schizophrenia from just being a clinical label, you know, a diagnosis, and makes it profoundly human. It encourages you, I think, to swap judgment for compassion when you encounter mental illness in your own life or community. See the person, not just the illness.
That feels incredibly important. What else?
It's also a call for better systems. Demand family-centered care. The Galvin's ordeal shows why mental health care needs to support everyone involved, parents, siblings, the person diagnosed.
Things like support groups, respite care, practical help for the whole family.
Exactly. Don't just treat the identified patient in isolation.
And maybe something about resilience, too, from the sisters.
Definitely. Margaret and Lindsay's stories, though different, show that recovery from trauma isn't about erasing the past. It's often about finding meaning, adapting, maybe transforming a devastating experience into something purposeful, even if it's just surviving and telling the story. Resilience looks different for everyone.
So, reflecting on this deep dive, what was the most surprising thing for you, or the part that resonated most?
For me, personally, it was that vindication from Mimi Galvin. After decades of carrying that misplaced guilt, fueled by those cruel theories, to see the science finally, unequivocally prove her innocence, prove it was biological, that felt incredibly powerful and honestly quite moving.
Yeah, that redemption arc through science is really something.
It is. And I think the ultimate lesson the Galvins offer us is really twofold. First, schizophrenia is a brain disease, period. And second, responding effectively as a society means we need both things. Relentless scientific discovery and profound human compassion. They have to go together.
Science and empathy.
Exactly. Their family's contribution, born from such pain, really is this incredible gift of hope for the future.
A tough read, definitely, but ultimately a vital one. It changes how you see things. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Hugh Cotra Foundation.